Sit in faith. Grab what all you can get. Amen. This is not a snack. This is a meal for today. Amen. So just be enriched in the Word of God. Amen. Give Bishop a hand.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. Thank the Lord for the Word of God, the people of God. Praise His holy name. Talk tonight about faith. Minister Smith asked me this. She said, "You ought to talk about faith." It's okay not to talk about faith.
That's good.
I said, okay.
Yes.
Say some things about faith. You can return to Hebrews 11 chapter while I'm at it, and we're going to go through some others. But I thank God for His goodness and His mercy. Thank God for all of you. Praise the Lord. I know it's been a long week. Hebrews 11 chapter, and I'm reading out of two Bibles tonight. One is Amplified and one is the Written Testament. And the reason why I'm reading out of them, because when I read out of King James, it says, "Our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And I understand it, what it means by that. And a lot of people read it, but a lot of people don't understand what it means anyway. But I want to talk about faith tonight. I want to begin this, and I'm going to look at a couple of points. One of them is, I just want to look at four different aspects of faith tonight. There are going to be faith to believe, faith to trust, faith to enact, and faith to sustain. Faith to believe, faith to trust, faith to enact, and faith to sustain. And the very first one that I'm going to look at is in Hebrews 11 chapter. And it's about the sixth verse where it says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God."
Yes.
"But without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever comes to God must believe that He is." So in order for us to even be saved at all, the first thing you have to do is you have to believe. When the Word of God comes, you have to believe. When the Word of God comes, before you can ask God to even save you, you have to believe that God is God. And you have to believe, it says in Romans 10:9, that thou shalt believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God the Father has raised Him from the dead. You have to believe in God. Without the faith to believe in God, it is impossible to please God at all. The one thing that God would have you do is be saved. So when you come to God, the first thing you have to do is believe in God. One of the things we read when we look in James, and I'll look at James for a moment. James writes something about us that I'm going to read. Then we're going to move on for the rest of the night. James says, tells us something. And he says, "Faith without works is dead."
Yes.
Faith without works is dead. "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." Chapter 2, verse 20. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" James chapter 2, verse 20. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise was Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out went another way. For as the body is without the spirit dead, so faith without works is dead." And when James says this, and he talks about it and goes on in various ways to talk about it, think about today. And it isn't that faith puts me to work necessarily physically, but it does. His point is when you have faith in God, it causes you to do something.
Yes.
When you have faith in God, it causes you to do something. When you believe in God, even at the very first beginning, that's what caused you to ask the Lord to save you. When you have faith in God, it brings about an action on your part. And it's not always a physical action. James points out, you know, someone that tells you they're cold and you tell them to depart in peace. He says, you haven't done a thing for me. He's talking about what we can do outwardly. But there's also an action that is by faith that is continual. And this is why that we look at Abraham in Romans, the fourth chapter. It says, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. The first thing that Abraham has to do is believe that God is God. He has to make up his mind that God is not the God, one of the idol gods of Ur that he comes out of. Somewhere along the line, I was preaching not too long ago, and I was telling you have to come to a point where you believe God.
Yes.
There's a difference in accepting a logical argument for God. And we talk about God so much, you say, okay, well, I guess that's right. And heaven is a good concept, and I'd like to be there, and that works out well. I'll give you an example of people who don't have faith in God but think they do. Anytime that you can read the Bible, you can read the Quran, you can read various other scripts, Buddha, whoever, and you say that you are a Christian, you're somebody who believes in Christ, and you can in your mind kind of say, well, you know, they're all basically saying the same thing. You don't have faith in God. You don't have faith in God. You have accepted that the way of God is a good way.
Yes.
And that the life in God is a good life.
Yes.
And you go along with the morality of it and all those things. But when it really comes down to it, believing in God is more than... It isn't that I'm in God because I am morally upright. It's the other way around. I'm morally upright because I'm in God. And you accept that the foundation for everything that you are and everything that you have become, that is right, which is in the words that becomes righteousness. You come to a point where that is of God. And as James says, when you have that faith, it causes you to grow in God. Causes you to grow in God and be stronger in God. When we look at our faith in God, it is because of our faith, and then we look at it, faith, and then we enact it. You know, we enact it. We trust in God. Let me not get ahead of myself. Trusting in God. Mm-hmm. Once we believe in God, our faith is what causes us to trust in God. It's why Abraham is willing to wait 25 years on Isaac to be born. If you look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 21, 25, and 36, Luke chapter 2, you see an example. There are many of them, but you see an example of someone that you don't talk about a whole lot in the Word of God. You see Simeon, who waited for the consolation, Luke 2 and 25. Simeon is there, 2 and 25. Mm-hmm. And at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and he was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come to rescue Israel. Another place it says for the consolation of God. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. He's waiting on God and trusting that the deliverer is going to come. Faith is shown when you trust God and trust that God is going to deliver and God is going to bring you out. James, when James talks about work, my trusting in God is a work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's something that my faith causes me to do. It's a deliverance that you depend on God to do. He's trusting in God. Anna, later on, if you look further down about verse number 36, talks about Anna, a woman of great age. They're waiting on God. And one scripture writes, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You're waiting on God. Faith in God causes us to wait on God and to trust in God to deliver. When we don't have faith in God to trust in God, we do a lot. We find ourselves doing a lot of things that God has to deliver us from and bring us out of. we won't depend on God, and God will, because God will give us our permissive will, as we like to say, or God will not hinder your independent will. If you insist on doing something instead of trusting and waiting on God, God will let you do it. Because he knows that he knows the danger of it, it can destroy you, but if you can hold on to him, he knows that sooner or later, you're going to come to it that I probably should not have done that. It is this trusting in God, an example. You see, when Paul sails with this crew, and they won't listen to him telling them they should wait. And many times after we've gotten ourselves in trouble, we find out we should have waited. We should have trusted God. When we heard the voice of God, we should have trusted the Spirit when it told us, you need to do something differently. We should have done that. Learning to trust in God. This is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego talk about when they go in the fiery furnace. Their faith in God causes them to trust in God. They said, even if the fire consumes us, God is still going to save us. He's still going to deliver us. It is the trust in God, the Father, that Jesus has when he says, the Father has never left me. He says, God has never left me. I've always done what I need to do, and he's going to deliver me no matter what. Yes. That's trust in God.
Yes.
That's making up your mind that if I hold on to God, I'm trusting in God. Now, you can't have this trust in God unless you believe in God.
Yes.
And you don't have this trust in God until your belief in God becomes very strong.
Yes.
You can't be a weak believer and have trust in God. One of the things when James talks about faith without works is dead, he's looking at you, James is looking at you, and he's saying, if you don't trust in God, you don't have much faith. And because he's saying that when you trust it, when you have faith in God, your way, the things you do, works are not just soup lines and soup kitchens and feeding the poor and doing this. Works of what you do, how you live your life in God.
Yeah.
Faith with a habit. In other words, he's saying, if you have faith in God, we should be able to see it somehow.
Yes.
To whatever degree you have it. We should be able to see how you are in God. People watch me. Some of you, people watch me. Not just you. Some of you, I can look at some of you, and one person in particular I can look at and say, you don't even know me. People watch you, and they, especially when you say that you believe in God and have faith in God, what are they watching? They're watching what you do. They're watching what you do. They're watching your, as James would say, your works. They're seeing what comes out of your mouth when you're irritated. They're seeing how you put up with people. They're seeing how much patience you have,
yes,
how you engage, and they know the result of your anger and your frustration, and they compare this to see how much of this is like God. And yes, you might be saved, and every other word out of your mouth might be praise the Lord. You just tell, I just thank God every day. God's always with me. Yes, but a person who has strong faith gets to a point where he doesn't have to keep saying, God's always with me. We can look at him and see.
Yes.
We can see how they do business. We can see how they do this. We can see how they do the things in their lives. We can see how they interact with other people. We can see how they grow. Don't you know when you read in Paul's epistles and all their epistles, all these things that we read all the time, all these general instructions that he gives us on how a saint of God, a Christian of God, if you want to use that word, whichever one, it doesn't matter to me, but how someone who believes in God is supposed to be. Each one of those lists is supposed,
yes,
to be how all of us are.
Yes.
And for me, my work is allowing the Holy Spirit to get me into this list. And when I see people who can keep,
yes,
reading that list every day and hearing that list, because I know some people that when you start talking about the list that says, be kind one to another, lie not one to another, don't do all this. I know some older Christians, old saints been saved about 30, 40 years. They turn you off. Oh, I know all that.
Yes.
They,
yes,
stop working.
Yes.
Their faith doesn't say to them,
yes,
I need this.
Yes.
Because, Minister Smith, you asked me, so I'll tell you. Because there's such a thing as mountain-moving faith. But two things have to happen before you can literally say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it be removed. Mountain-moving faith is the kind of faith that parts Red Seas and calls walls of Jericho to fall. And even when we have miracles and things in our life, God doesn't even allow us to get to the point where we're as desperate as they were at the Red Sea. We think we're as desperate as they were. We don't even get to the point where we're as desperate as they were at the Red Sea. We don't get to the point where we're as desperate as Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He doesn't even allow us to get there because our faith is so weak, we never pray through. We never pray through. Not most of us. Yes, I would. I pray through. I pray every day. I pray every day. I call on God every day. Why do you have problems?
Yes.
When you have mountain moving faith, your problems keep doing this.
Yes.
They would come against Jesus, and they come against Jesus, and they would come against Jesus, and then they would, and Jesus would pray, and they even killed the man, and he pushed that out of the way.
Yep.
I pray every day. I know God hears me in my prayer. Then why do you resist the gospel so much when someone's trying to tell you how to grow?
Yes.
That's works too. Without understanding is a sin. Those who will not hear, he talks about people who become dull of hearing. Yes. You grow to a certain point, you don't want to hear anymore. Yes. Because you're there. But your mountains remain. Because I told you, two things happen in order for you to move mountains. One of them is, you can speak to this mountain all you want to, but if God doesn't need it moved, it's not moving.
Yeah.
It has to be the will of God.
Yes.
If God doesn't need it in His plan to move, it is not going to move.
Yes.
If it's not something God needs done, it is not going to happen. It has to be the will of God. And then the other reason why Jesus, when He parts, points literally to a mountain and says, if you have faith, you can move this mountain. He's referring to a person whose faith is mature faith. As James says, nothing doubting. This is a person whose faith has already gotten him through. His faith has told him he needs to forgive. And his faith has told him he needs to be kind. And his faith has told him not to be malicious. And his faith tells him not to be a liar. And his faith tells him not to be stubborn. And his faith tells him not to be obstinate. And his faith tells him not to be all these little things that we are. Your faith tells you, because before I grow to a point, if I don't have enough faith to get myself through Ephesians and all those and see those needs to change in there, no, I don't have enough faith in God. I just barely have enough faith to be saved at all.
Yes.
And someone who doesn't correlate that to faith, then, you need to spend more time around Mr. Smith because you're still in faith 101. If you don't correlate learning to forgive being a matter of faith, then you're still in faith 101. You're in basic believing faith. You haven't grown to the point yet where your faith shows you, oh, I need to grow. Oh, I need to learn. You haven't gotten there yet. You quote, I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. And you say neither height nor depth, you say nor things present nor things to come, nor any other creature. But every time somebody draws you out, they separate you.
Yes.
And every time you don't forgive somebody, they separate you.
Yes.
And every time there's a situation where you blow your top and blow up and resist and don't understand and know, they separate you. Because none of those things are like God.
Yes.
And your faith should say, if I'm going to be like God, and if your faith is in God and you trust God and believe in God, you ought to want to be just like Him.
Yes.
And y'all not just, and it ought not be just, I want the people to see me looking like God. No, I want to be like God. And when your faith is in, be ye holy, for I am holy, you ought to want to be just like Him. If He's holy, you ought to want to be holy.
Yes.
And every time you catch yourself not being holy, because you trust in God, you should say, I need to repent to God first of all for not being, and I need more of the Holy Ghost to make me holy.
Yes.
Because faith without works is, if your faith isn't changing you, your faith isn't working. You want your faith to move everything out here without ever moving you. You want your faith to move mountains when you are the mountain. Oh, you know, you want faith to do, you know, I'm just trusting in God. I'm just trusting in God and sitting in the same spot doing the same thing. Not doing anything differently. I'm just waiting on God. And God is saying, get up. God tells Joshua, he says, these walls are not going to fall unless you get up and you walk around 7 days. And on the seventh day, one walk around will not do it. You're going to have to do it seven times. Each time, trusting that when I do what God says that I should do, God is going to work it out. And Joshua doesn't know. If you find it in your Bible, call me and let me know. Joshua does not know that the walls are going to fall. He just knows God's going to work it out.
That's right.
Because they've already figured out how to get into the city. They plan to go in under the drains. The spies went in that way. Joshua is going for victory. He doesn't know how victory is going to come. And when they walked around the seventh time and the walls fall, nobody's expecting that. Certainly not the people who are sitting up on the walls. But he's trusting God because this is what God told him to do. And he's not sitting back saying, no, see, I just want to work that. I got a plan. I know who I'm going to call. No, it's God. He's trusting God. Then I'll get down to the next one. And then faith in action. It enacts you. When you trust in God, this Syrophoenician woman whose daughter is going through, this woman in John, the 8th chapter, who has an issue of blood, and she spent all her money, and she says, I'm going to go to Jesus because I've watched him heal, and I believe he's a healer. This leper that comes to Jesus and says, wilt thou make me whole? They do something about it. They go to God. They do what Jesus tells them to do. Jesus puts clay on this man's eyes. He says, go wash your eyes. The man can say, man, you crazy. He can go or not go. But he's trusting in God. His faith is there. And the man they let down through the roof in Matthew's house, it says when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw her faith, when Jesus saw him move, when Jesus saw them do what their faith gave them a mind to do what Jesus was giving them to do. Their faith told them, I need to get closer to the Lord. There was no need of going to the temple. That's not where the power was. Well, no need of going to see Caiaphas or Annas, and they were on top, you know, and everybody wanted to please them. But they didn't have no. There was no need to go see them. There wasn't even any need when Jesus was around for the man who's by the pool of Bethesda, been there for a very long time, been sick for 38 years or whatever it is. There isn't even any need for this man to wait any longer for an angel to come, because when Jesus comes, everything works out. You just need to get hold of Jesus. Your faith needs to say, like the woman who had the issue of blood, if I can get hold of Jesus, I've got a situation going on. I need to pray and fast and get a hold of Jesus. Yes. Not pray and fast and keep doing what I'm doing. I need to pray and fast and get a hold of Jesus. Yes. It's not just praying and fasting for the tradition of praying and fasting. I'm fasting, not praying. I'm fasting, I'm praying every day, but you aren't changing. Yes. And you're not listening. Yes. And when people come to help you, those are the very ones you don't want to hear. Yes. They didn't want to hear Jesus. Ran him out of town on several occasions. Didn't want to hear Paul. Ran him out of town.
Yes.
Put him to death. Put Peter to death. Paul to death. Jesus to death. Put John on the Isle of Patmos to rot.
Yes.
They didn't want to hear them. And they had the truth. But the Holy Ghost told them. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost told them and they had faith?
Yes.
You know what the Holy Ghost told them? Write it down.
Yes.
Hide it somewhere.
Hallelujah.
So that someone will find it. Which is what they did with the Dead Sea Scrolls. Write it down.
Yes.
Because you're not going to be alive to keep repeating it and rehearsing it. So you need to write it down. The Holy Ghost came to John even on the Isle of Patmos. When you read it, John's sitting on the Isle of Patmos and his mind is on the Lord. And he's on the Isle of Patmos and he's at a prison colony. And he says in Revelation, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And there wasn't anybody there to look and see if it was the Lord's day, tell me it was the Lord's day. They didn't know if I was going to church or not, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day."
Yeah.
And the Spirit came,
yeah,
and Jesus came, and he lifted me up,
yeah,
and carried me up, and I stood before Jesus, and Jesus gave me revelation.
Amen.
That's what faith does.
Yes.
He didn't stop believing because he was, at the last part, sustaining.
Yes.
I'm out here on this island in prison, but my faith is sustaining me.
Yes.
And I'm not having the world's best day, but God is still God. He's still upholding everything by his power. He's,
yes,
sustaining me.
Yes.
I'm still being kept by his power. He is keeping me.
Yes.
Faith, my faith in God is sustaining me.
Yes.
I don't have anybody I can call because John didn't have a cell phone. He didn't have anybody he could bring in. He's the only one here who's praying. He didn't have, you know, you get to a point after a while where you don't have anybody you can call up.
Yes.
So I always got somebody I can call because you haven't grown enough not to be able not to call somebody. When you're a child, you always need your parents.
Yes.
When you're a child, you always need your parents. And the younger you are, the more you need them.
Yes.
And when you're a babe in Christ, you always need this person that you look to for a parent.
Yeah.
And that's all right. Keep looking to them because you need them. And I keep praying that they keep giving you what you need. But at some point in time, you need to grow up to a point where you become a parent.
Yeah.
And you become a pastor. And,
yeah,
you become a leader. Yeah. And people can come to you. And your faith will give you what to say,
yeah,
so that they grow in faith.
Yeah.
And it always starts. There's no need of telling you to pray and walk around the wall seven times if you haven't learned to do what it says in Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians and all those. Because if you don't have enough faith to just forgive people, then my God, you don't have wall breaking down faith.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You're still praying out of your mind at what you want to see.
Yes.
And how you want to see things go.
Yes.
Faith causes you to ask God,
yeah,
"Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. What do you want me to do?"
Yeah.
Say like Isaiah. The Lord, when Isaiah was caught up, when he was caught up and he saw Jesus in his kingdom, he saw God in his kingdom, Isaiah came out, his words were, he said, "Now soft as mine," Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me."
Yeah.
He didn't say, "Send me here, send me there, send me anywhere, send me. That's why he could write later on, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength."
Mm-hmm.
They that wait upon the Lord, you keep waiting on God, he's going to renew your strength. "They shall rise up on wings as eagles." They could write this even as they were going through.
Yeah.
They could write this because their faith was there. It was sustaining them. It was keeping them.
Mm-hmm.
It was causing them to be all right. I'm down to my last point. And then the other thing about adapted and sustained faith is the big faith. Do you have enough faith to present your body a living sacrifice?
Right.
Holy and acceptable to God. And don't jump over there and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I haven't gotten there yet. Do you have enough faith to present your body a living sacrifice? That means, do you have enough faith in God to trust God enough that you give yourself to God for God's use and for God's will and God's way, and trust God that everything's going to be all right. So that you're willing that what God wants, that's the reason why it says be renewed in the spirit of your mind, so that you, when you get this new mind that God is giving, and I don't know how you keep reading be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and when he tells you how to be renewed in Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians, all of them, you don't want to read that. You're saying, "I already got it." Well, if you already had it, you didn't need to be renewed. But he knows you didn't have it because he says to you, "And don't think more highly of yourself than you are." Why did he have to say that? Because he knew when he told you to be renewed, you were going to say, "I am." Don't think more highly of yourself than you are. Because he knew what he said to you, you must forgive. You were going to say, "I do, I do."
Hmm.
He knew that when he said to you, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, you know, without hypocrisy. You know, yes. Learn how to love and let it be real. He knew you were going to say, I know.
Yes.
He knew that when he went on down in Romans and started telling you that every one of us is a part of the body and we have our place in it. We need to fit in.
Yes.
And we need to do what we're supposed to do and we're all needed. He knew you were going to say, I know.
Yes.
So he told you. He says, now, I'm going to tell you now, don't think more of yourself than you do. In other words, he says, I don't think you know everything you're supposed to know already. He says, you need to sit down and say to yourself, now, what do I need to do in Christ? That's works.
Yes.
Faith tells me, what do I need to do
right.
when I need the Lord to move? Now, what do I need to do? Do I need to fast? Do I need to pray? And almost always, because you never do too much of it, the first thing he says is pray. There is no need of praying if when you get an answer, you're not going to change. After a while, you start hearing answers and things, and it's not God, it's what you want to hear.
Yes.
You have resisted listening to God so long, to now what you're hearing is what you want to hear. All what you're hearing is
yes.
your own mind.
Your own mind, yes.
What you will do, what you won't do, what you got here, what you got there. People tell me sometimes, I'll say, well, you know, maybe so. I ain't doing that. I ain't doing it. Now, why'd you even ask me?
Yes.
Don't you know if you ask me, I'm going to search the Spirit. Don't you know that I don't just give answers off the top of my head?
Yes.
I'm grown enough. I know the folly of giving answers off the top of my head. I've made yes. enough mistakes.
Yes.
I've been up and I've been down enough. I know better than trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat just for the sake of doing it. No, I'm not there. I know how to count the cost. Because my faith says to me when I read the Word of God, my believing faith, and Jesus said to them, what man buildeth a house without counting the cost? Who goes to war without counting the cost? Well, as they like to say to me, I caught that. When he said that, my faith caught that. So when I get ready to do something, I count the cost. When I make a decision, I count the cost. What is the fallout if what I'm giving is not right? What happens if what I'm giving is not the right thing? Because my faith says I need to lead and depend on God, and I'm waiting for a word. See, all of you who have no words, you just got a loud mouth.
Yes, that part. Yes.
And you always thought that you like to pipe up, talk about this. I live stream. You need some word.
Yes.
So that when the Lord moves, you know it's the Spirit, because you can hear the word come back. Because the Spirit always answers by the word of God. The Spirit always answers by the word of God. Why do you think we read our Bibles in Promise and Gulf Coast and things? I try to get you to read them. Because the Spirit always answers by the word of God. He doesn't answer by my feelings. And the Holy Ghost is not Jesus. The Holy Ghost doesn't care. It's not his responsibility to care of how his answer rubs me.
Right.
The Holy Ghost is black and white.
Mm-hmm.
It either is God or it's not. Right. It's in the Word of God or it isn't.
Yeah.
It is the way God meant it or it doesn't. This is the way of him. That's why you can trust him and have faith in him. He never wavers. He never sways. And the Holy Ghost never says, well, maybe.
Yes.
Or the Holy Ghost never says, well, you can try.
Yeah.
He says, this is what needs to happen. And the difference between the Holy Ghost and the devil gives you things without letting you know how it's going to work. The Holy Ghost gives you a solution. When the Holy Ghost brings things up, he also gives you the solution.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, shall I say this and this to someone? And the Holy Ghost says, no. So why not?
Mm-hmm.
He says, because if you say this to them, the situation is going to be worse. It is not going to improve it. And you know what I do? I don't tell him, well, I think I'll try it and see what happens. I don't. When the Holy Ghost says it's not going to improve, it's not. When the Holy Ghost tells me not to call somebody, I don't. And when I do call somebody, after I prayed and asked the Holy Ghost, and he says, well, maybe you need to say to me, give them a call. Then I will call. Then I will see what's going on. But my faith in him allows me to wait on him and allow him to lead me and guide me. This is what sustains me. Romans 8 chapter, my last scripture. My faith is what causes me. You can never, you know, I don't drink and I don't smoke. Is that all you do? That's not the only thing to present in your body. That's not the end of it. I'm not a fornicator. That's not the end of it. I wrote down something. Present our bodies. Keeping our bodies in the will and in line with God. Presenting my body means keeping my body in the will and in line with God. God has taken me out of the world. I'm no longer there. I died to sin. I'm alive to God. And now that I'm alive to God, I'm crucified with Christ. I have a life in God. And I'm presenting my body. Not just the point of not drinking, not smoking, but presenting my body. What we're willing to see. What we're willing to see with this body. What we allow others to see of this body. Not just what I look at, but what I'm concerned with, what others see when they look at this body that is a living sacrifice. Do they see me as being stubborn and obstinate and being kind of off and being this? Because I'm in God and I'm presenting my body to God, and I need a presentation that represents God. That's why when it says, be not conformed to this world, that's what the world is like. It is where we go. It's what we do. It's who we talk to. Who we trust in. We, with these bodies, who our conversation is always with. What we desire, you know, when you are commended or celebrated. People don't celebrate you in your mind. They celebrate you in your body. It's this body that walks across the stage and gets an award. It's the body. It's the body that the people take pictures of. They don't take pictures of my mind. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But it's this body that they see. It's this body that presents. It's this body that they remember. It's this body that they identify. You know, where we go, what we do or don't do. Who we align ourselves with, our relationships with this body that we have. Who we're, you know, faith without works is dead. My faith says who I align myself with. My faith says who I do business with. My faith says that because I'm presenting myself a living sacrifice to God. I belong to God. I mean, God is never supposed to be ashamed of me. He has been many times because of me, but he should have never had to be ashamed of me. We are holy as a matter of faith. Holy as a matter of faith. I'm holy, so I'm a holy woman of God. Not if you can't do what it says in Ephesians and Colossians and in Galatians. I don't care what you wear. I don't care how you set up. I don't care how you present yourself. You can be a hermit as far as I'm concerned. Not be around people. Until you get where he's talking about and those do's and don'ts. And put on the new man that is renewed in Christ. And have put on Christ. We call you holy. But you're not. Your holiness is of the Holy Ghost. You got that much. Okay, I'll grant you that. But just know, that's a holy woman of God. Not if you can't. You're not doing what it says in Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians. Those long lists, Philippians. Those long lists that they put in there. What do you think they're in there for? That's not Paul's. You know, that's not what Paul said. This is what I think people should be. No, this is what the Spirit told Paul. Write this. Tell them this. This describes holiness. This is what they should do. And my faith says, if I want to be like God and be changed from glory to glory, from image to image to be like God, because he's changing me, this is what I must resemble. How will I know that I'm godly if you don't tell me what godliness is? And so when he writes in all these letters and tells them, he's telling them what godliness is. Now their faith in God and trust in God and belief in God will cause them to want to be like God and be what he's telling them to be. How else are you going to, you know, what else is it for? Just so we can point out sinners? Sinners are haters. Sinners are envious. Sinners are jealous. Sinners are fornicators. Sinners are unclean. Sinners, sinners, sinners. He didn't write it to sinners. He wrote it to people who were already in God.
That's right.
He wrote it to the church that's in Ephesus, to the church that's in Colossae, to the saints in Colossae, it says. To the saints in Colossae. Read the first verse.
Yes.
To the saints that are in Colossae.
Yes.
To the saints that are in Colossae, he writes.
Yes.
To the church that is in Ephesus.
Yes.
That's who he's writing to.
Yes.
Those are the people that he's addressing. Those are the people that he's concerned with. It is them that he's getting holy. So then their faith in God causes them to do what they need to do. Faith without works is dead. In other words, it doesn't exist. If it doesn't change you, and this is why James says, show me your works and I'll show you your faith. Show me what you do in God, how you represent God. Say, so, well, he's talking about works like soup lines and things. Then I guess all rest of us don't have faith because I don't have a soup line. I don't have an outreach ministry. I don't have a prison ministry. I don't have ills. And do you? So if you can't say that you have all those, you better go with me, because if you're going to say that that's what faith is, then you don't have any. You better stay with me when I say, when he's talking about faith, he's talking about how much we allow the Lord to work in us. In these bodies and all these, because if you're going to go to it, well, my faith makes me give people a dollar on the corner, then you better be forever running around to every stop sign you can find giving somebody a dollar. Because that's your faith.
Yes.
No, my faith in God causes me to obey God.
Amen.
My faith in God, and I'll go back to my last scripture, back to Hebrews 11 chapter, and you say, well, I don't believe that your faith in God causes you to obey God. That's exactly what it did in Jesus.
Yes.
Verse number 8, last bit to the night, faith. By faith, Abraham. Everybody in Hebrews 11 and 8?
Yes.
At least you have enough faith to turn in your Bible. By faith. Everybody see that?
Yes.
Because of his faith in God. Because he knew God. By faith, when he was called by God, Abraham did what? No. Obeyed. How did God know that Abraham believed him? He obeyed. How did God know that Abraham believed him? He obeyed. How does it write when it writes in Romans and when it writes in Isaiah? What does he say about the people? How do we know that they have believed the report? Because they obeyed. How do you know that they who has believed the report? Because they obeyed. How much faith you have in God depends on how much you obey. You're a hard head, won't obey anybody, you ain't got a whole lot of faith. I don't care how deep you look. I don't care what title you have in front of your name. True faith in God. What is Jesus' absolute mandate when he comes? He must obey the Father. And his faith is, when I obey the Father, even in death, he's going to resurrect me. You know what your faith is supposed to be? When I obey the Father, even in death, he's going to resurrect me.
Yes, yes.
If I will forgive, God will resurrect me.
Yes.
If I will lie not, if I will envy not, if I won't create strife, how are you so full of strife and anger and malice?
Yeah.
Just get mad with people. Just tell them off. Speak to them any kind of way you feel like it.
Mm.
You know, no courtesy, not gentle, not kind. You know, have all these issues that you have, and yet you say you have great faith. No wonder things aren't moving for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Mm-hmm. You're talking about mountain moving faith. You don't have the faith to get over an anthill yet.
Wow.
These are small things. Learning to live in peace, and you know, these are small things that,
yeah.
that we're learning. This is you. We haven't gotten to Red Sea faith yet.
No.
You haven't even gotten to forgiving faith. You still have the arrogance. Mm. You know, be ye subject one to another. Mm. You're still a respecter of persons. Some people you want to be around, some people you don't. And not because they have a reason. It's mm-hmm. because you respect some people because of the position they're in, and other people you don't.
Yes.
Those who don't respect people, I have news for you. People don't respect you either.
No, they don't. Mm-hmm.
When you don't respect people,
don't respect people
don't respect you either.
They don't.
Even Benjamin Franklin, he's not even in the Bible. He said that. He said that when he talked about it, well, he actually talked about trust. He said those who trust least are the least trustworthy. But those who don't respect others,
don't get respect.
People don't respect you either. Mm-hmm. You walk around with your head all up high like you're somebody. Mm-hmm. You just don't know. People have no respect
for
you. You hold yourself in great regard. That's the reason why when Paul writes this, and I'm done, he says, not to think more highly of you, not to have an aggrandized opinion of yourself, but really get a good look at yourself,
yes.
where you are and what you're doing. Then God can move in your life.
Yes.
You can look at yourself and say, hey, you know, I have some character flaws. I'm this, I'm that, and the other. And then you can turn around and ask the Lord, Lord, deliver me. Yeah. That's faith. Mm-hmm. It's faith when you say to God, I don't have to be this way.
Yes.
God will change it.
Yes.
I don't have to be like I am. God will change it.
Yes.
Isn't that what we're preaching to other people?
Yes.
We're trying to tell other people, you don't have to stay like you are. Yes. God will fix it. Well, we need to preach to ourselves and say to myself, I don't need to keep being like I am. God will fix it.
Yes.
I talk too much. I get angry. I do this. I do so many things when I really take a good look at myself.
Yes.
That's why James talks about that mirror. Mm-hmm. And he says, God will change it. My faith says to me, God will change it. Everybody stand up. You haven't gotten most of the people that I preach to. You haven't even gotten to the point here where you have to pray and ask God to change you from something because you just can't do it. And I have. You don't have the kind of problems that you're not even strong enough to change yourself from. Been there, done that. I know what deliverance is. Pray like David. David prayed in one prayer in Psalms. I wrote it down. I think it's 136 in one of them. And he asked God. He said, Lord, I need you to deliver me from people that, he says, from people and things that are too strong for me.
Yes.
He said, David was a mighty man. He had great courage.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but some of the things in my life there that's flat out right,
too strong for me.
And it's more than I can handle.
Yes.
There are things in your life, you know, that you haven't even come to the point yet to realize. You think it's okay to be like you are. Your faith should show you. No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
Because it doesn't produce the fruit of peace.
Yes.
It doesn't sow the seeds. It says the seeds of righteousness are sown in peace.
Yes.
The seeds of righteousness are sown in peace. It doesn't produce that in your life.
Yes.
And in the people around you.
Yes.
That should give you an idea that, hey, you know, I need the Lord to work some things out in my life. Inwardly and outwardly. Everybody around me doesn't have. It's not that everybody who comes in contact with me and disagrees with me is the devil.
Yes.
Everybody who disagrees with you is the devil. It's the devil. It is the devil. But it's not the devil in them.
Yes.
It's the devil in you.
Yes.
Sometimes. It's not always them.
Mm.
Every one of us needs to say to ourselves, it's not always everybody else. Sometimes it's me.
Yes.
And as you grow older, it should be you less of the time.
Right.
But everybody else say sometimes. It's not always everybody else. Sometimes it is I. It is me.
Yeah.
Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Can you Thou art the potter. My faith tells me I can say that.
I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield it and see.
Sometimes you just need to ask the Lord, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Are you willing to say to the Lord, Lord, the way I'm going, if you were to tell me tomorrow this is not the way to go, I would say, all right. Are you willing to say that to God? I am. If the Lord would say to me, and I know it's the Lord, the way you're going, because the way of the Lord is right. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you bless the people of God tonight. Lord, especially bless all those, Lord, we seem to be having. We don't seem to be having, oh Lord, forgive me. Lord, we are having an outbreak of cancer.
Yes.
Among so many people that we know, oh Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you move by the power of the Holy Spirit, oh Lord. Not by our power, not by our might, but by the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you stretch forth your finger of God, stretch forth thy hand, oh God, with thy healing mercy and thy healing grace. Touch all those, Lord, in their bodies, those spots that they have, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch them with the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. Bring all those cells into order. Lord, by you all things consist, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, stop them from radicalizing, oh God. Bring them into order, oh God. Lord, say to them, peace be still, O God, in Jesus' name. Tear away and dissolve and pull out all the death that is trying to overtake these mortal bodies, O God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Lord, where there is affliction, O God, I pray, Lord, you deliver and heal and set free. Lord, move in all of us, O God, and give us perfect soundness in our eyes. Lord, in all of these conditions and things that we have, oh God, according to your will. And Lord, I glorify you. Lord, I accept, Lord, that in many of them, Lord, I accept, Lord, that you're reminding us of our mortality, oh God. Lord, I understand. I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, I dare not pray against your will, Lord. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, in every case, Lord, give us the mind to say and the faith to say and the peace to say the will of the Lord is right and thy will be done. Lord, give us the mind to say and comfort our hearts knowing that the will of the Lord is right. In every way, Lord, whether we be those that are healed, Lord, we have a testimony of the healing grace of God to encourage many women. And whether we be not healed, Lord, we have a testimony of the grace and the mercy of God that has sustained us through all of our afflictions and all our trials. Causes others to know that God is with you even during a difficult time. Lord, that we need to. Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, bless every one of these churches and draw men and women into the churches. And Lord, put to flight the army of the alien. Lord, put to flight Satan and his horde. Stand before the doors and cause men and women to resist the devil, oh God. I mean, resist the gospel, oh God. Lord, send them out, Lord. If they come one way, send them out seven ways. Lord, encamp your angels all around our doors and keep the way clear, oh God. Men and women will walk down to the church house and drive to the church house and come in. And Lord, as they walk through the door, Lord, meet them by the Spirit of God. Lord, not with our words, not with our smiles, but by your Spirit, oh God. Touch them with the Spirit of God and break every yoke, loose every unclean spirit that holds them bound. Lord, set them free in their minds, oh God, that they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, open their blinded eyes. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you do it by your Spirit. Not by our might, not by our power, not by our words, Lord, but by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Lord, move. Lord, that your will would be, that your will be done. Lord, that men and women would be saved. And Lord, we'll glorify your name. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I thank God. Give the Lord a hand. You can be seated. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. And thank God for it. For all of you. And I want to say to Elder Russell tonight, I see him. Elder Russell, I want to say to you, not Sister Russell, but you, between now and Sunday, give a call to, I see Sister Eartha down there. Sister Eartha, call your son. Ella Russell, call your daughter, and Crystal Derrico, and all the people who are in your church. Give them a call, a nice, gentle call, and ask them, and say, will you